Well, ladies, we are on day or lesson number 39 of our Bible study in 1st and 2nd Peter. And today we're in 2nd Peter, nearing the end here, chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. And I've got our teacher, Connie Stampfel, here. Connie, welcome back.
Thank you, Amy.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. What are we going to be learning about today?
Well, we're going to find really about what God's patience is about and, again, what that end-time judgment is going to look like.
All right. Well, we record these, just this segment, too, here, and these are available on 10-minute podcasts that you can find on our website, naomistable.com, and use these little audio clips that we have to perhaps lead Bible study around your own table, ladies, with other ladies in the Lord, and you can also download the study notes, and we're going to be talking about that in just a minute, but today's lesson is titled, Wait For and Hasten the Day of the Lord. And I'm going to read today's passage, and then Connie's going to teach us about it. This is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in the lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
Yes, and that last part tells us what we're looking forward to, a new heavens and an earth, new earth where righteousness will dwell. And that's Peter's point. He's working to prepare his readers to be with Jesus and to be there where righteousness is. But as we go back to the first part of our passage where it says in verse 9, we get the sense that the people he's writing to, the true believers that are being persecuted, they are having difficulty with false teachers, life is not easy, they're not sure when the Lord is coming back. He's explaining to them what God is doing in history and time and why it seems maybe God is delaying. He says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years and a thousand years as one day. And as we look, we're going to look at a few passages in the Old Testament about God's time. I think we need to remember that God is the eternal creator, sovereign Lord of all things, is beyond time. And so our sense of time is how we are as finite creatures, but God is infinite. And so he looks at time differently than we do. And so there's a passage in Psalms we're going to read.
Yeah, this one is in Psalm 90, just verse 4. It says, for a thousand years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night.
Yes. And then there's another psalm where it talks again about how God was there before the world began and how he perhaps looks at time differently than we do. So, Amy, if you'd read that one, too.
Yep, that's Psalm 102, just a few chapters later. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end.
And so again, we hold on to the eternal, unchanging one, the sovereign Lord of the universe, and realize that everything we see in this world will change and may pass away. And Peter's telling us in this passage that, again, the heavens will be burned up and dissolved, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. We also know that that helps us have the right perspective on our lives now. And Paul wrote us some great words in 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, and I'll just read them to us. He says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. As we go on here, we're going to find out a little bit more in our passage here in 2 Peter about what it is that God is doing as it seems like he's delaying, because Peter writes in verse 9 there, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Mm. Think about that, Amy.
Yeah.
God has a time, But there's a reason. And what's that reason?
Well, he wants us all to be saved. He doesn't want any of us to perish.
Exactly. And so what a beautiful thing. Yeah. You know, if I've come to the Lord, don't I want him to call in and bring all those that he's saved also?
Oh,
and so
yes.
I can wait, you know,
yeah.
it's what God is doing. And so we have scriptures in our study guide that really speak to the fact about God being patient and how he doesn't want any to perish. It's not his desire. But I'm going to read Romans 2:4 for us. Because Paul here is writing to the Jews, and he's saying, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" Mm. And that's what God is doing in human history, is he's bringing all those of his own to repentance in him. A beautiful, beautiful thing. We also have a scripture from 1 Timothy, which I'm sure is something that Amy knows very well, but I'd like you to read it because it gives us hope.
I love this one too. 1 Timothy, you'll find this in chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. "This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time."
Thank you, Amy. And so that's what we need to keep reminding ourselves of, because this is the gospel. Jesus
yes.
Christ died for our sins, and all who will turn from their sins and trust in him as their Savior and their Lord will be saved. Mm-hmm. And they will not face God's judgment, because Jesus Christ bore God's wrath for our sin. Good words to know, good
yes.
words to hold on to. But we find that Peter again is pulling things together and speaking again about God's holiness and that judgment, because then in verse 10 he says, "But the day of the Lord, that day of ultimate judgment, will come like a thief. It'll come suddenly. It'll be unexpected. It will be unwelcome for those who do not know Jesus Christ. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." And truly that means they will be found out by God. And so in that cataclysmic day of heaven and earth totally changing and being dissolving, each and every person who is not in Christ will be naked and exposed before God in their sin and will be judged.
Yes.
Which is a fearsome thought. We do have an Old Testament scripture that just talks again about the suddenness of what God is doing with this created order, which we might think will go on forever. That's what the scoffers had been thinking. So, Amy, if we read that Isaiah passage, it'll help us pull it together.
Yes, you'll find this in Isaiah 34, just verse 4, and they would have been very familiar with this. It says, "All the host of heaven shall rot away, and the skies roll up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall as leaves fall from the vine, like leaves falling from a fig tree."
All right. And so Peter's point here is that in light of that final day of judgment, to his readers, to those who are in Christ, who've been born again, how are they to live? And so we go on in our passage here, verses 11 through 13, and he says, "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of the Lord," or coming day of God? And so we're going to be reading a little bit about the lives of holiness and godliness, but I want you to focus on waiting for and hastening the day of the Lord, or day of God. And so there's a sense of one waiting patiently for what God is going to bring about, but there's also a way that we can hasten the coming day of the Lord. I would say it's just by living by the power of the Holy Spirit in those holy lives, but also in the fact that by our lives and by our words, we give witness to who Jesus Christ
yes.
is. And we have been given that commission to go out and share Jesus Christ with the world and teach them to obey him. And so as we go about that, I think God is working in and through believers to then bring in the full measure of believers.
And that really ties together what you've been teaching us, Connie, about that we can't do anything more than share the hope we have in Christ Jesus and to pray for those who don't know, because he is so patient. Those verses that Connie picked, by the way, the first one is in James chapter 1, verse 27. "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." And then in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, it says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Yes, Amy. So I think that's the point. May we shine as lights in the world if we know Jesus Christ, if we come to know him as the light of the world, his moral purity and his truth. We are to represent him by what we say and do. We don't do it perfectly. We don't do it in our own effort. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can represent him to this world.
Amen. We'll end this one with 1 Peter, back when we were studying this a few weeks ago. Chapter 1 from the very beginning, verse 15 says, "But as he who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct."
May that be so.
Oh, yes. Well, Connie, thank you so much for this lesson today. There was a lot in here, and Nancy and I are going to be talking about this when we come back.